Thank you, Jenny and Michael. What beautiful music, and it reminds us of that beautiful music the angels sang so many years ago when Jesus was born. I know when you came to church this morning, you thought Brother John was going to be preaching. Well, so did I. You are going to get a crowder. It's not Brother John. You're going to get Uncle Dale. I'm just an older version of the crowders. And John made me cry. We love this church because we get to come here to hear Brother John virtually every year. And we've done that for so many years when our family gathers. So we love you. But we love your pastor, and we love Lisa, and we love Ashley, and we pray for them because they've gone through a lot. And you know, we all have emergencies from time to time. Sometimes they're not like what they went through. Sometimes it's just a flat tire. And so you have to get the old spare tire out and put it on. Till you get the regular tire fixed. Well, I'm Uncle Dale. I'm John's spare tire. But, you know, I'm proud to be that. And I'm honored to stand up here. I'm not worthy of it, but I'm still honored to stand up here in John's place. I knew John before he was born and loved him then. And I loved him more every day since. And our family loves him. And we pray for him. So I'm going to do my best through the guidance of the Holy Spirit to try to do the best I can as old Uncle Dale, trying to bring a Christmas message to you. Now, why do we even celebrate Christmas? You know, you may think, now that is a strange question for a Baptist to ask other Baptist Christians. Why do we celebrate Christmas? And you know, Christmas is coming. It's almost on us. And we know that. Just in here, we can see on this side, Christmas tree, and on this side, a Christmas tree. And the one on this side has at least one cross on it and a church building. And it has the symbol of the light that shone over the stable. And this tree has several crosses on it. So these trees reflect Jesus Christ, don't they? Not all trees that we see reflect that, do they? But these do. These do. And the beautiful wreath on both sides, those bright lights symbolize that wonderful, dark, starry night so long, long ago when Jesus Christ was born. So that's the scene we have here. And we know why we celebrate Christmas. But you know, there are people in the world who don't know. They don't know about Jesus Christ. They don't know about Christmas. And what if one of them came here to West Texas? Now that's assuming they didn't get mixed up and think that meant West Texas, but they came to West Texas and came to you and said, it's sure nice to meet you. And I see people are celebrating this thing you call Christmas. Why do you do that? How would you answer them? You know, I can see, and I'm sure you can too, why people would get confused about what is the meaning of Christmas when they just look at our secular Christmas. Because, you know, we see Santa Claus, and Santa Claus is fun. And we see all sorts of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know, he's pretty good. He lighted the way. And we see all sorts of things. And we see Christmas tree, places where you can buy them and ornaments. And then we're all out shopping and trying to fight the frenzy to make sure we got all the presents. And, oh, I forgot one and got to go out. And so we know about all these things. And then we hear on the news where somebody said, we don't have a Christmas tree in our courthouse. We have a holiday tree. Things like that. That is confusing, isn't it, to people that really don't know why we celebrate Christmas. So how would we explain Christmas to somebody who did not know about it? Because they surely would be confused. They wouldn't know Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from Droopy the dog, because they just don't know the background. They wouldn't know Jesus because they don't know the background. So we could explain the background. So let's think about how we would go about that. You know, when you think about why do we celebrate Christmas? Well, let's go back to the beginning. The apostle, or in Luke, the book of Luke, it tells us how it all got started. Chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, says, and by the way, I had to borrow a Bible from another nephew, David Crowder, and I've got it here. I have a Bible. I've got a bunch of them. We're members of the First Baptist Church in Richardson. But I didn't bring one. I should have, but I didn't, because I was going to listen to John. But I borrowed David's Bible. And verse 26 says, now in the sixth... Excuse me. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. He was a descendant of David, and the virgin's name, we all know it, was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. Now that alone surely must have startled Mary, to have an angel come and say, Mary, the Lord is with you. But that's not all the angel said. Mary was greatly troubled at this statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. She knew something was up. Why would an angel come to her? She was just a young woman, very young woman engaged to Joseph. And here an angel is coming and saying, God shines favor upon you. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus. And she said, what? It doesn't say that in here, but I bet she said, huh? Wait, I'm not going to be bearing a son. I'm a virgin. I'm engaged, but I haven't been with a man. How could this be? This is just a young woman, and an angel tells her that she's going to bear a son. Not only bear a son, but what does the scripture say? And his name shall be called Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will see no end. Mary had to be stunned. Maybe she thought she was dreaming. I don't know. But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." Well, time went by, and in Matthew, it tells us that the angel appeared to Joseph also. Because, you know, Joseph, if Mary came to him and said, "Joseph, an angel came to me and now I'm pregnant." If the angel hadn't told Joseph anything, he's going to think something's up. What did he go through? What did Mary go through trying to tell Joseph about it? But God had a plan. And the angel Gabriel told Joseph what was happening. And so Joseph and Mary, when it came time to go into Nazareth or Bethlehem, he took Mary, even though she was almost time to have her baby, to pay the taxes. So they come into town, as you know the story, on a donkey. And they knock on the door of the Holiday Inn. They were full. Came to the next inn. They were full. Joseph's getting worried. He's got a pregnant wife. It's getting late, cold. He doesn't have a place to stay. He knocks on another door. The innkeeper comes and said, "We don't have any room. Everybody's up here paying their taxes, and they're full." He said, "I've got to have something. Don't you have anything?" Joseph would say, probably. The innkeeper said, "Best I can do for you, I've got a stable. And there's some clean hay in there. You can use that and make a bed out of it, and you spend the night there." He probably gave him a discount. Doesn't say that here. I don't know. So Joseph and Mary went into the stable. Incidentally, it's starting to fit the picture that had been prophesied in the Old Testament in various ways. This is what God's plan was so many years before this. And so Joseph lays out the hay, and before that night was over, the angels began to sing, and the light shone on the shepherds that are on the hill tending their sheep. Now, what in the world did they think? They're out there taking care of these sheep, just, you know, minding their own business, and all of a sudden, this bright light and the angels, and they're saying, "Somebody really special has been born, and they want to go see." And there they find Joseph and Mary and a little brand new baby in a manger. "Well, what's his name?" doesn't say quite all of that, but that's must have been what they asked. One of the things they asked, and Mary said, his name is Jesus. And so that's what Christmas starts out being about, is the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. But that's not the end of it. That's the beginning. God gave us a gift. He gave the world a little baby named Jesus. But that's not the end of it. Christmas means more than just a little baby in a manger, because that baby grew up. He grew up and he became the greatest preacher the world's ever known or will ever know. And he healed and he performed miracles and he dazzled the intellectuals with his knowledge of the scriptures. And they arrested him, crucified him. He was put in a tomb. But that's not the end of Christmas. That's not the end of what happened to that little baby when he grew up big. Because we know he arose from the grave and showed the world that there is a life after death, that God is still in control, and that he is the Son of God. And he remained around for a while, and his disciples, who had gotten discouraged and all spread around, they got re-energized in an unbelievable way so that they could carry on the message. And Jesus then, when the proper time came, ascended into heaven to prepare a place for all of us. And promised that he would return. So Christmas, the gift from God of that little baby, is the whole picture. The whole picture. But there's another part of that picture. And I learned that other part from the scriptural basis when I was in the third grade. We lived in Tishomingo, Oklahoma for a while during World War II, and then we moved to Seminole, Oklahoma, small town. We went there, and we went to the local church, and at night we had training union. Any of you remember training union? Yeah. I went to training union, and Mrs. Davis was my training union teacher. And I was in third grade, all these little third grade kids there. And Mrs. Davis and her husband owned this printing and stationery store where they had all kinds of things that they sold dealing with printing and paper and pencils and pens and stuff. And she asked me, she said, "Dale, we're sure glad you're here with us. Can you recite John 3:16? And I said, "Huh?" And she said, "Well, the other kids in the class can recite John 3:16, and I want you to be able to." And she said, "What I did for those others, I gave them each a mechanical pencil that had inscribed on it the verse John 3:16. And, you know, mechanical pencils, you may remember them. They're still around, I guess, but they're just a regular, a pencil kind of thing. You put several pieces of lead in the top of it, turn it, and it pushes one of them down so it goes, and then you can write. It's got a eraser on the end, and you plug it in. I mean, it was high-tech stuff. For me, that was the highest-tech pencil I'd ever seen, and I wanted one. And on top of that, it had a scripture on the side of it. She said, "Dale, you can have one of these pencils if you'll memorize John 3:16. And I'll give you one when you memorize it." Well, during that week, I got it memorized. And that next Sunday, I said, "Ms. Davis, I'm ready. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life." She smiled and gave me that pencil. And boy, howdy, was I proud. I took that to school, and I was the highest tech guy in my class because I had a mechanical pencil. Well, long, long ago, that pencil wore out, and I lost it or something. I don't know. But I haven't lost that verse. That verse is still right in here. And the reason I haven't lost it is because that's the other side of Christmas. That's part of the meaning of Christmas. That little baby that we celebrate, his birth, is the reason why we have this promise. It's the reason we have this promise. That if we accept him as our Savior, we're not going to perish. Now, we will have an earthly demise, but after that, we will have eternal life if we accept Jesus. That was God's gift. That's the fulfillment of the gift that Christmas represents. Well, when I was young, which is a long time ago, you know, my focus, I had Jesus in my heart, but I really looked forward to presents. And there's nothing wrong with looking forward to presents. But in the fourth grade, my focus was presents. Well, I should say present, because we didn't get a lot of presents. We're just lucky if we got one present that we really wanted, you know, but maybe we got two presents, but so that's plural, isn't it? I wanted a football when I was in the fourth grade. We lived in a modest neighborhood on a gravel street. And there was only one kid in the neighborhood that had a football that you could air up. And he was one of the older boys, so unless he was out there, we didn't have an aired up football. I had a football skin. It wouldn't take air, so we'd stuff rags in it. And that's how we played football on that gravel street, was that football, and it was hard to throw a long pass. You know, it's kind of heavy, and you could run with it pretty good. If you fell, it kind of cushioned your blow, but you couldn't throw it worth anything. I wanted a football. That was my focus for Christmas. You know, I still knew Jesus was part of what we celebrate Christmas, but I was wanting to celebrate a football. So I would look under the tree every day to see, you know, what had been added. Was there a package that would hold a football? Well, I didn't see one. Things were getting discouraging. There might have been a little package that had my name on it, but it wouldn't have held a baseball, much less a football. And finally, one day, I looked, and there was a package big enough to hold a football. And I looked over there and hoped I'd see my name, and if it was, I knew it'd be a football. Looked down, and it said, "Daddy, for Daddy, Long John's." They even told him what he was going to get. I was so disappointed. Well, I didn't give up, though. I thought, well, they're going to be. But Christmas came, There was no package under there the size of a football. Well, we started opening presents, and finally they were all open, no football, except there was one still under the tree for Daddy, Long John's. And my sister Lois said, "Dale, why don't you go get that package and give to Daddy?" Well, you know, didn't have anything else to do, didn't have football. So I went over and got the package and took it to my father. And he said, "Well, Dale, why don't you open it for me?" And I opened it, started opening, looked in there, and you guessed it. There was a football. Boy, I got it. I got that football. They tricked me, but I got it, and I loved it. And we had an aired-up football, and I was the guy who owned it. So they had to go by my rules, or I'd take my ball home. But that was the way I looked at Christmas. Except in my heart, I still love Jesus. But that wasn't my focus on Christmas. It was my present. And there's probably some of all of us that did that as a kid. And that's understandable. And maybe we do that once in a while anyway, and that's understandable. But the real focus is that gift that God gave us on that starry night so long, long ago, that started out as a baby, but grew up, crucified, resurrected, lifted up to heaven. And for God so loved the world that he gave that little baby. And the life that that little baby led, still lives, leads. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what we would try to communicate to somebody who, number one, didn't know Jesus, but they asked the question, "What is this about Christmas?" And it's good to have Christmas things that we do, the traditions, families together, sharing gifts, having good food, fellowship, all those are good, and having the kids have a good time with watching for Saint Nick and things. But the real thing that needs to be focused on is Jesus. He's the greatest gift the world has ever been given. And there's a marquee in front of a little church in Richardson that I drive by periodically, and they have wonderful sayings out there. Somebody's very smart and puts those out there, and they make you think, but the one they have now is the best I've ever seen. And it says, "The offer still stands," John 3:16. God still has the offer out there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall not perish, and you will have everlasting life. That's the offer. All we have to do is accept it. And that's what my Christmas message is to you today. That the message is Jesus is Christmas. And if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't accepted him and taken benefit of this offer, as that marquee says, the offer still stands. Still stands. And the acceptance of Jesus is the greatest gift God could ever give. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time to think about your gift to us. And we think about that little baby that you sent so many years ago, and the happenings on that dark, clear, starry night when Jesus was born, as prophesied. Even though he's been rejected by many, he's not rejected by us. We love him, and we appreciate your gift of Christ to us, and we hope we can live up to our responsibility to teach others that Christmas, if we just removed the M-A-S on the end, it would be clear. It's all about Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Uncle Dale. The offer still stands. Christmas is really all about Christ. There's not much more that can be said than has been said so well already. How will you respond? The offer still stands. Have you received the gift? Have you accepted Christ and let him change you? We're going to sing together our hymn of invitation, hymn 295. And as we sing together, if the Lord would call you to give your life to Christ, to really experience Christmas in a personal, lasting way, if he calls you to give your life to Christ, just come and let's pray about it together. Perhaps he calls you to make some other decision. Maybe you're already a Christian and he calls you to recommit your life or to join our church. Maybe he's calling you into missions or ministry. If the Lord calls you to do something today, would you follow through? Respond to that great gift that he's given. Let's stand together.